that when I get home. Again, good morning to you. I hope you've had another blessed week. And I know the Lord has blessed you. He does every day. Amen. We are bringing to an end Ephesians chapter 2. This is our 21st message. Seems like a lot of messages, but I've tried to say a lot. Tried to expound upon a lot of different things. Because I believe that we live in a time of hate and dislike. Of course, we've always lived in that time, I guess. It's always existed. But I think sometimes it bleeds into the churches among the brothers and sisters in Christ. Not necessarily to hate, but to dislike, to be dissatisfied with. Because we have such quick tempers anymore. Don't forget, we live in a time of road rage. I was listening to reading an account of road rage on the internet, on Facebook, yesterday from someone we know, and it was pretty scary how quick people get angry at each other, how quick people dislike each other. And we are still flesh. We still have a fleshly side to us. And as Paul said, sometimes it's a battle. If you battle within yourself, whether to stay or whether to go home, you're battling with flesh and spirit. Because spiritually, you want to go home. We all want to go home. Today is not too soon for us to all go home. I pray all the time, I'm not going to say every day, but all the time, that the Lord Jesus will come and take us home. Sometimes confuses me as I look throughout history, as I look out throughout today's time, how that Christians have chose to try to find ways of separation rather than ways of togetherness. I'm not being rude with that. I'm just telling the way I see it. Ephesians chapter 2 has told us what we were. Ephesians chapter 2 has told us that God has given us much grace and mercy. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 tells us that every part of our life is ordained of God. We have to understand those things in order to understand how God works. And I've said many times, I preached throughout this chapter, if God wanted everybody to be the same, he would have made them the same. If God wanted everybody to believe the same thing, they'd believe the same thing. It seems like sometimes believers get upset with other believers because they don't believe the same thing. If we believe the scriptures and we believe verse 10, then don't we have to believe that God controls all of that? Why is it that God separates us in that fashion where one believes this, the other believes that? Well, some of it's human element. But the bottom line and finality to all of it is what God has done for us. He's given each and every one of us a separate amount of measure of grace. And in giving us that separate amount of grace, measure of grace, he's made us what we are. As I say, there's a human element to a lot of it. But I have to believe in my life, speaking of my life personally, that I am what I am by the grace of God. Every time. Why does the Lord allow us to believe the doctrine of landmarkism and never allowed someone like Charles Haddon Spurgeon to believe it, it's dumbfounding to me. It wasn't Spurgeon's fault he didn't believe it. It wasn't Gill's fault. It wasn't men of the past and women of the past that they didn't believe it. It's God never taught it to them. See, if God teaches us something, we'll believe it. And we can't believe it if God doesn't teach it to us. That's my firm belief. So we have to learn as Christians to tolerate each other as Christians. Sometimes preachers and pastors and Christians want you to be a clone of them. Well, I'm thankful I'm not a clone of most people I know. And I'm thankful they're not a clone of me. Because I certainly have a lot of my own faults. My own ways that people don't like. But God didn't. He made us all different, didn't he? It's like snowflakes. You know, when snowflakes come down, they're all different. God's wonderful, isn't he?
Amen.
How he made all the stars different. How he made all the planets different. Is there nothing like the earth in the universe? We don't know that. We can't say that. God never told us yay or nay, did he? We assume there's not. Nor have we ever been able to prove it, but we can't say for certain that there's not another planet out there somewhere like ours. But God made us all different, folks. And I just wish that sometimes people could understand that, especially Christians. So God's told us that what we were. God's told us that we are what we are by his grace. And God told us, verse 10, that we are his workmanship. That is his creation, his making. I'm a pastor because God put me there. Larry's a treasurer because that's what God made him. Frank's a clerk because that's what God made him. And Justin's a songwriter because that's what God made him. Ronnie led the singing here many years. That's what God made him to do. I've heard people say they wish they could preach. The Lord would call them to preach, and he has never. Probably make good preachers, but that's up to the Lord, isn't it? I've heard men preach it. I don't think God ever called to preach. But who am I to say? People probably said the same thing about me. And then we learn the difference between Gentiles and Jews. The two differences in the world were Gentiles and Jews. We know that in the Old Testament, God's chosen nation was Israel. God never promised to save all Israel, all the Jews. He promised that in Romans 11, he would break off some of the branches of the tree of Abraham and engraft some Gentiles.
Amen.
And Lord said when he engrafted those Gentiles, they would become part of the tree as natural branches. So I would assume by that they become like Abraham, Israelites, spiritually speaking. I mean, we become the children of God when we're saved, aren't we? By adoption. So the Lord talks much about we are to not set boundaries, not set walls against each other. As Christians, I'm saying. I'm talking about as Christians here, not as worldly people, but as Christians. I know that a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters don't believe like we do a lot of things. Some of them believe they're Christians when they're not. Lord will separate all that. We don't have to separate them. Lord will do that for us. We have our job as a church. And we're going to get a little bit into that, kind of as a great commission to the church this morning. I have an introduction I'm going to read. Our first scripture will be 1 John 2. And then we will go to 1 Corinthians 12. And then we will get into Ephesians 2. All of this in the introduction part. And don't worry if we don't get done. We will finish this by the end of the day. As we end the study in Ephesians chapter 2, let us carry one message away. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are all one. Let me repeat that. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are all one in Christ. No walls are to be built between Christians. We may differ in doctrine, and that difference means a lot in a church setting. But in general, as Christians, as a family of God, as children of God, we are all one in Christ. It matters not if we differ in races, gender, nationalities, or anything else. In Christ, we are all one.
Amen.
Verse 13 of our text says, "But we now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off, are made what? Nigh by the blood of Christ." Close. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord wrote these words. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past." The darkness is past, the Lord said, "and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." Listen to that, folks. The Lord draws no lines. He draws no stipulations. He draws no doctrine difference. He draws no church difference. And speaking about loving Christians, if you know someone to be a Christian, if you believe someone to be a Christian, you must draw everything that's within you to love that person. Absolutely. If you can't find anything else in life to talk about, spiritually, scripturally, talk about the gospel. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. One thing every Christian has in common, if they're Christian, is Jesus Christ and him as Savior. And that's what the Lord's saying here. The next verse, I'm not sure which verse I'm at here. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." None. No occasion to stumble. "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Please listen to those scriptures closely. The Lord doesn't even draw doctrinal or church or anything, any other difference there. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about other believers. He's talking about us and other believers. We can't allow ourselves as Sovereign Grace Baptists to be against those Armenian if they're Christians. And we don't know whether they are or not, do we? That's our problem in life, is we don't know who is and who isn't. I've seen people sit in Sovereign Grace churches that were saved who thought they were already saved. We just don't know. The Lord gave no exceptions. We must remember that God has made us what we are. And if God wanted everybody to be like us, then he would have made everybody else the same. Even those of us in the church are not the same. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, if you will. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks about the church. A lot of people don't think it does, but it does. It's talking about the local New Testament body here. I'm a firm believer of that. And it tells us how a local New Testament body is put together and how it functions. I've just got a few scriptures here. But if you read verse 12 down to end chapter, it will bless your heart. He said in verse 12 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, "For the body is one." Speaking of the church here. How many is the body? It's one, isn't it? The Lord also says on down this chapter that if one rejoices, we all rejoice. If one hurts, we all hurt. The Lord is saying, as a church, we are one. Church is, the body of Christ is one. It has many members. It's not one person. It's not one ideology. It's not one thinking. It's not one way. It's a group of people that come together from different backgrounds, sometimes different races, sometimes different nationalities, and certainly different genders. And the Lord puts us into a church together, and he makes us all one, doesn't he? And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ, because we are the body of Christ. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, does not matter. Whether we be bond or free, it matters not. Where we all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The body is not one member, but many. So is the family of God. It's one in Christ. We have to change the mentality of the church and put it into the mentality of Christians. None of us are infallible. I'm not, neither is anyone else. The old nature may make us think we are, but we are not. I do not know it all. You don't know it all. They don't know it all. We only know what we know and understand what we understand by the measure of grace that God has given to each and every one that believes in Christ. Therefore, in this world, believers in Jesus Christ are brothers and sisters for eternity. Go to Ephesians 2. Let us learn to worship the same Savior and the same God as one. The Lord went on to say through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he is our peace. Christ is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 19, now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. With the saints and the household of God. Both. Saints and household of God can be the same, but it's also different, isn't it? Saints is people that are saved. People that have been made holy by Christ through his blood. The household of God would be the church. Now let's go down to verse 21. Well, let's start back up at verse 19, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. Well, if we're not strangers and foreigners, Lord, what are we? We're fellow citizens with saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom we're all building fitly framed together, groweth unto the holy temple of the Lord, in whom you're also builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. That's my line to it, all folks. That verse 22 right there, that's a great one to end this chapter with. Because that's the finality of everything the Lord's trying to say, or the Lord not trying, the Lord is saying about chapter 2. He's saying in chapter 2 that we are built together as believers in Christ for a habitation of God. We are the children of God. That's who we are. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. First, we will look at our foundation as Christians. We looked at this a little bit last week. In fact, our message was primarily on that. We're going to have some of the same scriptures again, because I want us to really grasp this as we end this today. In verse 21, he said, in whom all, who's all believers in Jesus Christ, in whom all the building, being fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. I don't think the Lord's necessarily talking about church there. I think he's talking about Christians in general. If we're doing our job, if we're doing what God told us to do, if we're doing the commandments of the Lord, we're going into the world with a good attitude, with Jesus on our mind, and we're talking about Jesus Christ to the world. You know, it's not our message necessary to take to the world the sovereignty of God, or landmark it, or any of these other doctrines. It's our job, our duty as Christians, as a church, to take the gospel to the world. If people don't hear the gospel first, they'll never hear anything else. If they don't understand the gospel, they'll never understand anything else. All of these doctrinal things are for us. The red meat of the word is for us as a church. This is where we teach it. This is where we preach it. You take it to the world, the lost world, or even the Armenian world, and they're not going to understand anything. It causes them to hate you. You say, well, that's their problem. No, it's not their problem. It's our problem. Not the Lord saying. The Lord said not to put stumbling blocks in front of others. Don't cause them to stumble. I've did it before myself. Go out into the world and start preaching song to God. Say, hey, that's what you need to hear. That's not what they need to hear. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. The only message that matters to the lost is the gospel.
We're building a building that the Lord has fitly framed together. And we're going into a holy temple, the Lord said. How? In the Lord. What did Jesus do? Go back and look at the ministry of Jesus. When Paul talks about, look at his ministry. When Paul talked about the sovereign great things of God, he was at churches, wasn't he? He wrote them to the churches. The church is a whole different place than the family of God. The church is an institution of learning. It's a place of worship. It's a place of glorifying God. It's where the holy people of God, us, come together and sit together to hear the meat of the word, isn't it? Our foundation is built on Jesus and Paul and Mark and Luke and John and Matthew, James, Jude, and all the rest of them that penned these precious words together, as God so brilliantly did through them. The Lord told us in verse 19 to build upon that foundation. Is that foundation still here today? It certainly is. And it's still being built on, isn't it? We're building on that. We're not the apostles, we're not the prophets, but that same foundation's been built on all the way through history. Into this very time in the 21st century. And we, as Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church, right here in Tetzer County, Texas, or as I like to say, Tetra County, USA, is building on that same foundation with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. No other foundation's been laid outside of Jesus. All of them have been built upon sinking sand, and they will all fall eventually. The only foundation that's ever going to hold
is the one that Jesus started and the apostles and prophets built upon, and we continue to build upon it. Go to 1 Peter 2, if you will. We had this scripture last week. I want to read it again. I love this scripture. This scripture right here, there's a ton there. I ought to preach on it. That's what I ought to do. I probably have many times and probably will many times again. But for what we're talking about, this is the perfect scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. The Lord wrote by the Holy Spirit and Peter in verse 3, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious," and you have, haven't you? You have tasted the Lord being gracious, haven't you? I have. "To him coming as a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God." Think about it. Let that soak in. You're a lively stone because you are chosen of God to be lively. And not only are you lively, you're precious. You are to the Lord. You are to me. And I ought to be to you. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Now stop there for a second. A sacrifice is something you give to the Lord. It means it's sometimes painful. That's what you give to the Lord, folks. You sacrifice for the Lord. You know, a lot of Christians today, they don't sacrifice for the Lord. They go through the motions of church. They go through the motions of what they have to in life for the Lord, but they don't sacrifice. It don't mean necessarily putting an animal on a altar and sacrificing it. Sacrifice goes a long ways. "Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, the Lord here said, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious." Remember we went to Isaiah, I think it was 28, and read that as it's written part? "Precious. And he that believeth the heart should not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe in this precious, but unto them," and he is precious, "but unto them which be disobedient, a stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner," Jesus, "and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to them which stumble at the word." That's what Jesus is to them. But to us, he's precious, isn't he? "Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Don't forget that. You were appointed. They were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in times past you were not a people, but you are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have returned mercy. That's who you were. That's who you are. A royal priesthood. A elect people of God. Chosen. Not just this church. Not just churches like us. But every single solitary believer in Jesus Christ in the world today. You thank God you are who you are. You believe what you believe. You are in this world what you are. You praise God for that. Because God has set you here, and in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he tells you exactly that he did. He does it again right here. Folks, don't allow things to separate you from other Christians. I have Christians that say they're Christians, and I certainly believe they are. They won't even speak to me because of some of the things I differ with them on. I've had Christians who refuse to come here, speak at our conference or to deal with us because I'm in the pulpit. And they disagree with something I've said or did. Let me just say this, and I'm going to say this very loudly, very plainly, okay? And I want you all to hear this, and I want the world to hear this, and I want everybody to hear this. If I ever believe something or do something because somebody demands that I do it outside of God, I will refuse to do it. And I don't expect others to be like me in order to be my friend. That's not the way God works. There are no more apostles. They were 12. I know I was holding up four fingers. You three times that four. But I don't have 12 fingers, okay? But anyway, there were 12. They're pastors, they're church members, and there's the Lord. And Jesus is head of the church. We don't have any more apostles. Paul has been martyred and he's in heaven. The last. Paul wrote in verse 21 of our text. We're going to go to Ephesians 3. I'll get there before I get down. I got 5 minutes. Paul went on in verse 21 to say, in whom all the building fitly framed together. The word fitly framed together means to render close, jointed together, that is organized compactly. Not only as a church, but also as a Christian family. A family of believers. Let's not forget, folks, who we are. We are the children of God. You are, I am, and everybody else in the world that believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God in their heart, is also my brother. Amen. And my sister in Christ. Now you come to this church, if you're going to stand in this pulpit, you're going to believe the truth of God's word. Otherwise, you're going to sit in that pew and you're not going to open your mouth in these services because we don't want to hear anything. But with that being said, we're going to love you to death because we love all the children of God. Every single one of them. I love every one of them who are disappointed in me. I love them even if they don't agree with me. You know, that's between them and God. Amen. I always pray if I'm wrong on anything, God will show me the truth. It takes a special kind of love to love other people. And that love comes through Christ. Jesus loved those that he knew to be his. Amen. He walked a long ways all the way to get to him. He walked a long ways all the way to get you. Next time you're walking, you look behind you and you see one foot of footsteps because he's going to be carrying you. He loves you so much, he gave his life on you. as a church. We are a body of Christ. And as Christian people, we are the children of the family of God. On this earth, we are that family together. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "For this cause I bow down my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," Paul said, "of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named." Christians is what they're named. Tonight we will finish our last points. We have a couple left. And we will finish them tonight and be finished with this. I have no idea what we'll do next Sunday. Except to say it's been one pleasure after another to teach this chapter. I hope it has been for you too.
Amen.
Don't stand. Joseph's going to come. He's going to lead us in a song.